I want to read out of John chapter 1, the verses that follow the passage that was read already, verse 11 through 14. We read the report, how John writes it down. He, Jesus, the Messiah, came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. It's a very hard and difficult life when you live on the outside. To be an outsider, homeless people know how that feels. People feel left devastated because they are lonely. And in our time, in our cities, we often have these big apartment blocks where 3,000 people can live in one block, and it's possible not one knows the other. We live close together, but yet worlds apart. And loneliness seems to be eating away at many people, mentally and emotionally. They feel left out. They feel they don't fit in. They even feel rejected by others. And loved ones, if a child feels rejected, that sense, that feeling of rejection goes with it throughout its whole life. How do you feel this Christmas season? Maybe there are dark valleys and a sense of gloominess instead of joy, love, and peace. We all have something inside of us that is fighting for belonging. We want to belong. We want to have a place called home. It is very natural for young people to want to have a family one day. And to have their own family, and nobody envisions. When young people get married, they don't envision that they would get a divorce or that they would have hardships and all that. They believe that that moment of their wedding, that will be with them for the rest of their lives. And then oftentimes, they feel rejected. There's a time of rejection. And I think of all this in this Christmas season, what people are going through. I can just sense it, how many people are going through this sense of rejection, this sense of living outside and not belonging. This is why gangs in inner cities are so successful oftentimes, because they pick up the loners. They pick up those that feel not welcome at home or come from broken homes, and they give them a sense of belonging. When we see a group where everyone seems to be seen and valued, it is normal for us to want to join that group and become part of it. Some people have just given up on wanting to belong to any group. They think, well, you know, every church has its faults, and there's no perfect church, and there's no perfect organization, and they want to isolate themselves, and they become indirectly like hermits. They just want to be left alone because they're afraid of being hurt. They're afraid of being rejected again. And so they reject everybody else and take preemptive action. I will reject you first before you can reject me. That's a very hard way to live. Jesus came, and this Christmas season reminds us today to invite us into God's family. He is the unique Son of God who came into this world to give us, as according to this scripture, the right and the power to become sons and daughters of God. And I want you to listen carefully to this scripture here, because this scripture invites us to embrace our identity as children of God, that we know who we are, that we know, you and I know, that we belong, that we are part of the body of Christ, which is a living body in which the Holy Spirit works everything to his glory and honor. Joining God's family is a matter of faith. And here's the challenge. We're generally trained to be skeptic of everything. And actually, in universities and many liberal arts institutions of learning, it is stressed that you need to question everything. You need to be skeptic of everything. You need to question what you have been trained in. You need to question and challenge your own beliefs and your own family values and your own traditions. And that causes a lot of confusion and disillusionment among young people and uncertainty. And young people get depressed over it. Why is everything unsure? We were trained in Sunday school that the Bible says this and this and this, and now I'm told that that's not sure. That's not, you shouldn't even believe that. In our day and time, in this time of the year, let's be very much aware of this every day. Before and after Christmas, the suicide rates among young people is the highest as it ever has been. It's unspeakable, the pain that families go through. Believing can be difficult because we are told to question everything except what secularism teaches. We're supposed to believe that, hook, line, and sinker. It's like you're supposed to embrace all that. With all that, that means that's educated. No, it's not. Because any teaching that goes against Scripture is leading us to destruction. Children already trained, don't talk to strangers. You know, in the South, it's interesting when you see someone walking, or you in our neighborhood there where we were, a car drives by, we always wave. I started doing it already. I noticed that people were doing that to me, so I waved back, and I thought, okay, here's the waving. This is the waving time. You wave at people. Here, people might be offended if you do that. You don't wave at people. You don't talk to strangers. That's the world we live in today. Cold. We don't belong. And as children of God, as believers, we know that we don't really belong to this world. Because we're guests and pilgrims. We're going through this world. But we don't belong to this world. We belong to the upper world. And that's what we want to talk about. Unbelief will leave us outside in the cold. If we pay close attention to the history of Israel and also throughout the New Testament church to the Middle Ages until today, we discover very important aspects of the effects and the destructiveness of unbelief that unbelief had on whole societies and generations. Unbelief today is very destructive, the same as it always was. One generation would turn to God and get things right. Then the next generation came and got into became complacent until there was full-blown turning away from God and his command. So he had to, through judgments, he had to rein them back in, and then a generation would serve him again, and then it would go back down again. Don't let it happen in your life. Don't let it happen in our generation. Let's take a stand and say, I will believe. I will believe the scriptures. I will believe what the apostles taught. Zacharias, the father of John, we heard about it yesterday a little bit in our seniors' luncheon. He heard the promise of a son by the angel of Gabriel, and it was so natural for him not to believe it because science, if you will, told him otherwise. He said, I'm old, my wife is old, we cannot have children. Sorry, it's not possible. The angel said, yes, it is. And because you didn't believe, I won't let you talk. Because if you would talk, you would just spread doubts. You would just spread unbelief. And for a lot of people, it would be better they wouldn't be able to speak than spreading doubt and unbelief, right? Would be better if we just zip our mouths shut if we don't speak in faith. Because in Zechariah's faith, the practice of faith had become very ritual. And we can become so used to our rituals that we go through the motions instead of a living and thriving relationship with God, that we kind of try to satisfy our own conscience and our belief that God will be pleased with just going through the motions. Verses 9 through 11 in our text here this morning, John chapter 1, we read, the true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. Now, imagine this picture. The world was made through Jesus Christ, and yet when he comes into this world, the world doesn't recognize him. And I would like to make the point that he came and he saw what the world really was. The world was in darkness. The people lived in darkness, and that's why they didn't recognize him. Their eyes were blinded. He came to that which was his own, even in Israel. And his own did not receive him. Meaning they rejected him, meaning that they did not believe that he was the Messiah. That was very destructive for the whole nation of Israel that they did not accept Jesus as their Messiah. You know what happened 70 years after? Jerusalem was destroyed. The judgment of God came. They did not receive the Messiah because of their unbelief, their pride, and their stubbornness of heart. But then there's the other side, and I like this. There were those that received him. And I hope you and I, we belong to those. It says in verse 12 and 13, yet to all who did receive him, meaning those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent nor human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. When we are able or decide to believe, then we receive the right, and the other translation says, the power to become sons and daughters of God. Meaning that if you believe with all your heart that Jesus is your Lord and personal Savior, and you seek forgiveness of God through repentance, that you will begin to belong to His people, to His church, to His body. You're bought with a price. You're redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. This is a right that we often take too lightly. And many people are very willing to compromise this right, like Esau did, to compromise his birthright and give it up so easily because his hunger was too big. Pressures of media today in society and misunderstandings often had led many to believe the shallow belief that all people are automatically children of God. That's Unitarianism. Everybody on this earth is a child of God. It is true that humanity comes from God, that we originally were created in His image. Yet the choice to believe in God's Son is what we have to make in our hearts and minds to belong to God's family. We cannot get around that. Because there is those that believe in God and those that don't believe, and in the end, we will be judged accordingly. There's a big shift in our identity when that happens, when we come to God in faith. In Romans 8, verse 1, I want to quote a few verses out of Romans 8 here. This is our identity. This is saying, Romans 8 is telling us we belong if we have faith in Jesus Christ. Listen to these words. Therefore, there is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Isn't that refreshing to read that? First, the Apostle Paul describes life in sin in Romans chapter 7, and it's very, very gloomy. It looks very hopeless and dark. But then in verse 1 in chapter 8, he said, those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you and us free from the law of sin and death. In other words, through faith, we have a new identity. We know who we belong to. We know we are Christ. We know we're God's children. We know we belong to God's people, to the body of Christ. Don't ever take that lightly. Don't ever take it for granted. Because this is the highest privilege that you and I have. Well, sometimes we say, I just wish that God would save better people, you know, those that are more worthy, those that are more, compatible with me. You know, why does God save this and this person and they're so strange and they're so weird and they have these character flaws and these character flaws? Well, we cannot choose. God chooses His people according to His will. Because we're all peculiar people. Let's remember that. In Romans 8, verse 15 through 17, we read, the Spirit you receive does not make you slaves. In other words, you have a new identity in Christ. When you belong to God's family, you're no longer slaves to sin, so that you will live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought you about your adoption to sonship. And by Him, by the Spirit of God, we cry, Abba, Father. God has become your and my Father. We have a new identity. We belong to your family. This is the purpose of Jesus' coming to this earth. so that you would have a new identity. You would know you belong to God's family. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. In other words, it gives us the assurance of salvation. It gives us the confirmation that we belong. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs. Heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory. See the potential and the connection that we have to the glorious sources in heavenly realms when we belong to God's family. Jesus came to make his dwelling among us. This was the purpose. There's an intimacy in the realization in this word, Emmanuel. God with us. The glory of God, what God has, he wants to give you and me. We are not alone. Jesus longs to and desires to be present with his people. You know, it's very difficult if Jesus wants to be in our midst and we don't pay attention to him. If Jesus is in our midst and we ignore him, it doesn't help us very much, does it? Oftentimes we are distracted. And we hear and read about the distractions. It's very harshly punished nowadays when distracted driving happens. One of the things we learned in the South, they don't use the blinker very much. I said, they should hire me. When I retire, I'd like to be hired as a policeman called the blinker police. And every time they don't put their signals on, I would stop them. Because someone said this, you know, God moves in mysterious ways, but that doesn't mean you shouldn't put your blinker on. You still need to put your blinker on. You shouldn't move in mysterious ways. That's up to God, but we shouldn't. Jesus wants to dwell among us. Distracted driving, distracted worship, distracted. And I caught myself several times recently. I've been so distracted. You know, when you want to do your devotionals, when you read your Bible, you just want to have this quiet time with God. You know how many distractions try to come, especially when you can't put your phone down? Imagine this for a moment. Jesus comes, he's born, and he comes, and he wants to visit us, and he wants to visit us in our home, and all we do is just stare at our devices. Maybe he would have a way to come into our devices and say, look, I'm right there. If you just open your eyes and put your thing away. I'm just illustrating something. That in this Christmas season, we should strive to really experience God's presence and not be distracted. We can be distracted through doubts. We can be distracted through what other people say and what other people do, how other people behave. We can be distracted through financial difficulties or through trials and through temptations and all of that, but work hard not to be distracted, and Jesus will do the rest. And then, in closing, we need to use our opportunities to connect with others that need to experience Christ and his salvation. Our homes, our churches, our cities and nations need us now to dwell among them, to bring God's presence to wherever we go. That when we visit someone, that when we talk to someone, that we are this light that radiates from us because of our joy, because of our identity, because of our experience with Christ and the presence of the Holy Spirit in our hearts, that we are then a blessing to others, and others can see that. That we can invite others to our Christmas services and to this time that we live in, that we can tell them, come see what the Lord is doing in the life of the church family. Come and see and experience the Spirit of God in our midst. Just sense it. Just pay attention to it. That we invite others to come into the joy of the Lord. God wants us to replace damaging habits, sins, and wrong relationships with habits of praise and thanksgiving and prayer and fellowship with believers. And I cannot overstress this. Don't leave and don't forsake the services and the worship gatherings of God's people. Because every time you do, you know, in Mississippi too, we could have stayed home that Sunday and just slept in. We could have said, well, you know, I'm always in church and church is my life and, you know, I'll just take a break from church. No, I love to be where God's people were. I love to be where God's word is preached and read because it's refreshing. We belong. Let's invite others to attend our Christmas services. Let's pray for those that we invite and reach out and touch someone with pleasant words of blessings. May God help us and bless all of us in the coming week. Amen.